Morning, brothers and sisters. It's very dull outside. I hope our hearts are not as dull as the weather, and that we are here to have a very enthusiastic heart to come to worship God. Let us open the Bible and read a couple of passages. So we'll turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We'll just read one verse there. This is what the Lord said to his disciples. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In fact, this verse is in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark as well, but I chose Luke because Luke here added one more word here, to take up his cross daily, whereas in Matthew and in Mark it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So here the Luke added the emphasis that to take up the cross daily, every day, throughout our lives. And then let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Verse 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And finally, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll read just one verse there, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." That I may know him and the power of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now, we've been sharing about the cross the last 5 or 6 weeks, and I hope you have not been saturated with this subject about the cross, and that you're now automatically turning yourself off whenever you hear these words, the way of the cross. Maybe in your heart you said that, "Well, I've enough of this subject. I know all about it because we've been talking about it in the special meetings when Brother Lee was here. Then we had follow on with sharing on our Friday night fellowships, and then now two Sundays in the last Sunday we also heard Brother Timothy talk about the way of the cross." But I think the Lord has these days purpose in our hearts that we should really understand this matter about the cross and the way of the cross solidly, so that we will not have mistaken ideas and concepts about this. We need, as children saved by the grace of God, taking us out from the bondage of sin into a new life, to learn that the way of the cross is not just something we talk about. It is a way of life. I think it was last week I asked a young Christian among us and said, well, did you learn anything from Brother Lee, all those testimonies? And he said, yeah, of course, I came every evening, every meeting, and they were all very interesting stories. So I said, are they just stories? He said, yeah, very nice tales and stories. I've never heard that kind of stories before. And I felt a bit sad in my heart that, you know, after this person attended those meetings, all he heard was just stories. This person really didn't grasp the meaning and the purpose of all these testimonies. Because Brother Lee, behind all these testimonies, in all his experience in life, which we heard about, were in fact living a life which is completely submitting to the will of God. He was following God, whether he was in a good situation or whether he was in a bad situation. He really understood the meaning of the cross. I think today there's a great danger for us to just emphasize on experiences. You know, when people gave testimonies and they said, mention or recount some incidents in their life, we all get very excited, very absorbed in it. And we then tend to very often rely on our experiences. We don't like doctrines. Doctrines are monotonous. Doctrines are very theoretical, theological. But we like experiences. And there is always a danger today among Christians that we rely so much on experience, but without a sound foundation or principles behind or supporting those experiences. And it can be a very misleading and sometimes even a dangerous thing if we rely purely on experiences. And that is why it is our burden that we should have a very sound doctrine behind all these experiences to support them, and not really just experiences, interesting things, exciting things. But what is the principle behind all these? Why did Brother Lee, for example, have all these very exciting experiences, things that which we probably never come across? Why is it? And that is why Brother Timothy last week and myself today are trying to go over some of the salient points upon which this matter of denying ourselves and taking up the cross daily to follow the Lord is all about. Now, Brother Timothy, you remember after Brother Lee left, we printed a little note and we enclosed it in, I think, the program sheet 2 weeks ago. On there are 7 points there, and Brother Timothy last week covered the 3 points. And it remains for me just to go over very quickly all these 4 points, because in all these 7 points, I hope you have kept this, because it's very useful, all right, to refer to. And it really tells us the important points which came out, which we should have learned from the testimonies of Brother Lee. So, with the limited time I have today, I would have to go through very quickly and simply all these 4 points. So the first point I wish to go today is the number 4 on that sheet, if you care to have kept them. And number four of the sheet says, the focus of the cross is not tribulation, but the glorious and victorious emblem of the fulfillment of the will of God. I'll repeat this again. The focus of the cross is not tribulation, but it is the glorious and victorious sign or emblem of the fulfillment of the will of God. So we have the cross on the one hand, tribulation in the middle, and the fulfillment of the will of God there. Now, the common understanding of the cross is something not so present. Whenever we mention the cross, immediately we have this idea that it can't be present. It's something, if not awful, it is something not very nice. This is true in a certain sense, because even in those Roman days, the Romans, the punishment, the most cruel punishment a person can get, is to die by crucifixion. The normal prisoner, they will, even if the punishment is death, they will not die by crucifixion. It's very, the most serious offenders, the most serious crime, that they will crucify him. And a Roman, they never crucify a Roman. So the concept of crucifixion is a very, very, has a very bad connotation somehow. And this has come down through ages, and whenever we hear the cross, it is always not something pleasant. So whenever we mention the taking up of the cross, we will have some negative ideas about it, because it implies effort. When you take up the cross, there's somehow we think about, well, it means effort for us, it means hardship for us, it means unpleasant things for us. And so when we talk about the cross, and then when we talk about tribulations, these are all very negative concepts in our mind, and we don't like to talk about it. But we are in this world. We are, although we are not of the world, or not of the world, but we are in the world. And Jesus himself said, in the world we have tribulation. Said that to the disciples. So tribulation is somehow a way of life for us sinners, for people on earth. And so very often when we talk about the cross, we think about these hardships or tribulations and so on. And true enough, there are many tribulations happening in the world every day. We can think of it. We have sufferings in so many countries. Things caused by terrorism. We have natural ones too. We have earthquakes. We have volcanoes erupting. We have tsunamis. All these can cause hardship to our lives, and many tribulations happen every day in the world. And so, if we are in the world, we are in a place where tribulations happen. You can't get away from that. You cannot buy yourselves out of tribulations. You cannot, by your own talent or wisdom or whatever, get rid of these natural disasters and hardships in our life. Now, the weariness of our body, our temporal, worldly losses, suffering of family ties, all kinds of things, they come as something which we don't like to have. And also, as Christians particularly, we are presented with persecutions from the world as well. But one thing I think we should never forget, although we are in the world, we are not of the world. And in Christ, we can have peace and joy even in tribulations. You know, when Paul wrote the Romans in chapter 5, when he said that we now have been justified, so we have peace with God, and yet he said, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So as a Christian, Paul tells us that we can rejoice even in tribulations. So when we talk about the cross and tribulations, we need to have a positive attitude, not this negative concept usually associated with these two subjects. We need, as Christians, to have a positive attitude, knowing that it is tribulation is not the ultimate purpose of God in our lives. And that's what we just said. You know, the focus of the cross is not in tribulations. Tribulations is a fact of life. It is here in this world, and we are in this world, therefore we will somehow, one way or the other, experience and go through tribulations. But as a Christian, as a child of God, saved by grace, tribulation is not the ultimate object. It is only a way through which something that happens in our Christian lives that will ultimately lead us to something more important. We know that when we are saved, well, when we accept the Lord, God has a purpose in each and every one of us. I don't know how many of you have heard the messages given at the West Coast Christian Conference this summer. Brother Wong, in one of his messages, told us, yes, God's ultimate purpose is to bring us back as sons. But that's not the final word of it. Not only is he going to lead us back as sons, we have been, like that parable, we have been prodigal sons. We have been wandered away, far away from God. And God, out of his love for us, he has brought us back. And today we are children of God, we are sons of God. But Brother Wong emphasized one thing. He said, not only is God's ultimate plan for us to go back to him, to be brought back to him as sons, but that we should be sons in glory. Because the Bible tells us that, you know, Jesus Christ is, God is leading us back as sons, not only as sons, but sons in glory. In other words, glorious sons. So, God has a deeper purpose in us. Not only that we should have forgiveness of sins, that we should be reconciled to him, that we should become his children, but that we should be glorious children. What does that mean? That means that God wants to bring us back to the original position as he first created us. God made man in his image, and God made man in order that man may glorify him. That is our purpose of existence in God's original plan. And so God has a plan not only to save us from eternal condemnation. God wants to bring us back to become not merely sons, but sons in glory as well. And because that is the ultimate purpose, therefore God has to somehow teach us how we are going to walk our way in this life in order that his ultimate purpose may be achieved. And God, in his wisdom, tells us that the cross is the only way. And therefore, he tells us that we should take up the cross and follow him. And the tribulation is just merely a process in which we ultimately get back to the original purpose for which man created, for which God created us. This is the ultimate purpose. And that is why tribulation exists. And that is the purpose of the cross. And that is why we should take up the cross and follow our Lord Jesus. And I think Brother Timothy told us of his lesson in his younger days when his father told him that, you know, he had to burn the midnight oil a little bit more so that not only for his own sake, but for the name of the family. Today, here the way of the cross is the means through which we can be trained and molded gradually into his image, so that one day we'll be like him, so that one day we'll become not only sons, but sons in glory. And that is the ultimate purpose of God. And that is why, on our part, we should, in some ways, shall we say, cooperate by submitting ourselves and following the Lord through whatever he brings into our lives. And that not only is the ultimate purpose, the cross is the only way through which we can be brought back so that the God's ultimate purpose in man can be accomplished. When Timothy was speaking about his childhood experience, I was sitting at the back there listening to what he had to say, and I thought about myself when I was in my younger days. You know, I'm not as clever as he is in my studies. In my high school days, we had larger classes, bigger classes, about 40 of them. And every summer when the final report comes in, I was always either 39th or the 40th. Right? But somehow, even though I didn't know the Lord, God has a plan for me, I always managed to slip through. And I always advanced to the next class, but I was always either the last or the second from the last. And my father became very worried about me. He said, one day, you know, you're going to stay behind. And the main reason why I was in that situation was that I was studying an English system, English school. And Chinese was used as a second language then, but my Chinese was very bad. And I always almost failed in my Chinese exams. And being in high school in Hong Kong then, second language is a must. Unless you pass it, you will stay behind, you know. So my father was very anxious, and he somehow managed to find a Chinese teacher for me. And this Chinese teacher was one of those Chinese scholars from the old Qing or Ming dynasty, one of these, I don't know what you call it, Ge Yang, one of the very, very excellent scholars supposed to be. They're supposed destined to work for the king. So this man was, when I was about 8 or 9, I think, he was already about 80 years old. And so he taught me all these old Chinese, traditional Chinese. and ask me to memorize and recite all these old literature, Chinese old literature. And of course I wasn't interested. And I was under so great pressure all the time. And this teacher always, so when I go home from school every day, I had to sit down there and undergo this kind of tuition for 2 hours. But I really didn't make much progress. The reason why I say this is that, you know, my father wanted me to achieve some object he had in mind. He wants his son to be better in Chinese so that he won't be the 39th or the 40th next year. And what happened in the process, I was the one who was suffering, wasn't it? It is something which I hope would never have happened. But I didn't realize, I didn't appreciate my father's aim at that moment. I thought it was unreasonable, it was all the bad things, I thought. But here, you see, through that process, my father had a very clear purpose to bring me back up to that standard so that I could advance, I could go on. But to me, using the word we're using in this context, it's a tribulation, isn't it? It is something so hard, so difficult, so miserable for me, and I didn't understand it. I think today we have this misconception sometimes, you know, that, well, God, you have saved us, you have forgiven our sins, you have given us a new life, you said that our hope is in heaven, one day we'll come and meet you face to face. But why do we have to go through all this? There's a hymn in the hymn book that says that, well, somebody is saved and he's just sitting there in a sedan chair, somebody is going to carry him into heaven. That's the kind of thing, the kind of thoughts we might have in our mind. But no, God has to send us all, give us all these hardship and things in our lives, but we don't understand it. We think it is something unreasonable. But God has his ultimate purpose to nourish us, to train us, to become more and more like him, so that one day when we meet him, we'll not only be like him, but our character will be acceptable to him. And that is the ultimate purpose of the cross. That is the real purpose why in this life we come across these difficulties and these hardships and all these unpleasant things. It is God's way to train us, to perfect us, so that when we come to see God, we are acceptable to him. Yes, today our position is secured. We are no longer condemned, we are reconciled to God, but still God wants us to not only to become his sons, but a son in glory. That's what the Lord is going to try to bring us in. And that is why we have to go through this way of the cross. And that is why the Lord Jesus encouraged us to follow him and take up the cross. So, the ultimate purpose here, we should not set our eyes on the cross, on tribulation, but on the purpose of the cross. The cross is for our benefit. So, our eyes should not stay too much on the tribulations. You know, Brother Lee, when he gave his testimony, we see that he really went through a lot of hardship, a lot of persecutions, a lot of things, a lot of distress and all that. And he took it as they came, took them as they came, because he knew this principle of the way of the cross. He knew that the ultimate object is really for the glory of God and for his own benefit. And therefore he gladly surrendered and submit himself to all these things which happen. Paul in his old days, when he wrote to Timothy in his second letter, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. What was the proof of that? How could he, a man, an old man, say, after the years of hardship in his ministry, come to tell young Timothy and say, yeah, all these years I have fought a good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. It was because that he realized, that realization, that the cross is, that the tribulation in his life is just a motivation to go on in spite of all that beset him. He knew that the cross, the ultimate aim of the cross, is the Lord himself, is God himself, is to satisfy God. And not because God didn't like him or purposely put all these things in his life. So that's the first thing I think we ought to know. The way of the cross is to train us, enable us, teach us to come back to the fulfillment of God's aim. And the tribulations are just signs that it is working in us. Sometimes somebody said that if we are too comfortable in our Christian life, let us examine ourselves to see whether we are walking in the way of the cross. Well, I have to move on. The next point I wish to share is it says here, and I'll read the whole thing, it's a rather long. Christ accomplished the great work of salvation through the cross, while we, through the cross, have our old man crucified with him and the body of sin done away with. The cross, having dealt with our old self-life, we can now manifest the beauty of his life and become instruments of righteousness to God. Here, we're not expounding on Paul's chapter 6, 7 and 8 of Romans, where he really go into detail and explain in great detail what the cross did to the sinners. We are sinners and we do sin. Therefore, the Lord says, because we sin, anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And God's grace not only forgives our sins, but it also delivers us from the bondage of sin. Our sins are not only forgiven, but the effect of the cross also delivers us from the bondage of sin. So when we accept the Lord as our personal Savior, not only our sins are forgiven, but we are also delivered from the bondage of sin, so that we may not sin. Which means that our life of sin is once for all dealt with. As what I've just read here, our old man has been crucified with Christ on the cross. And in its place, the cross united us with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 6, the two verses we read just now, teach us. Today we are reunited with him in his death and in his resurrection. That is part of the work of the cross. Both the death and the resurrection are very decisive facts. It is a very clear fact, something that happened. He died for us, for our sins once for all, but he also lives to us continuously to God. And if we die with Christ, Paul says that we will live with him too. And that is what Paul meant, to be dying to sin and alive to God. So the cross has in fact dealt with our old life. Everything that has to do with our old life, because of the exercise of that old life in us. Because we have a new life in us, which is superior to that old life, we can mature gradually on the one hand into the image of God. And at the same time, when we grow in Christ, gradually, the more mature we grow, we start to see the beauty of the resurrected Lord. That beauty, bit by bit, slowly, little bit by little bit, maybe even not easily noticed at first, but it is manifested in our life. And the process in which we go through in order to produce that beauty is through the way of the cross. Through our taking up the cross and daily following him, we are being molded and changed from one form to another. Gradually we become more like Jesus. And as we go under this kind of training, polishing act, refining work of the cross, the beauty of the Lord will be manifested in us. And that is why this point says, the cross having dealt with our old self-life, we can now manifest the beauty of his life and become instruments of righteousness to God. If we submit to this way of life, we are surrender to this way of God's teaching and live a life in the way of the cross, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be shining out like a light in darkness. I was in the old days when I was singing children songs for Sunday school and so on, there's a little hymn which I always remember, and which the children very like to sing, and it goes like, Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. See that? God wants us to shine in our little corner. We may not be doing great things like Paul or like the apostles, but the heart of our Lord is that we should shine in our little corner. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine as we work for him, bringing those that wander from the paths of sin. He will ever help us if we shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. You know, a very simple little song, but it brings us forth the reason why. Only by our submission and living the way, experiencing all these things, hardship and things along the way, that we will be able to shine for our Lord Jesus. And that is where people in the world, unbelievers, will start to see the beauty of the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why we are encouraged to walk the way of the cross, take up the cross and follow him and deny him. It's only through these things, so it's the so-called hardships and unpleasant things, that we will be able to manifest the beauty of our Lord. Take a very simple example. You remember how we all know how pearls are formed, right? It started with a grain of sand in the shellfish, and because it felt uncomfortable, it gave off some secretions, and by that process, over a long period of time, a rough grain of sand becomes a beautiful grain of beautiful pearl. And when we look at a pearl, we see behind it always a story of very uncomfortable things. It is something that is in that oyster that annoys him all the time. But in due time, after a long time of this kind of uncomfortable, a very, very precious and beautiful thing emerges. And that is why, that is how we can in our lives manifest the Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty, His perfection. But only through the cross can we achieve that. The third point is here is that there will be suffering and tribulations in the experience of the cross, but nevertheless, there will also be the fullness of joy. I think this has something to do with the first point we mentioned, that when we see the cross as, and not the tribulation, as the ultimate proof of the fulfillment of God's will in us, we will at the same time enjoy the peace and the joy that we will experience. Paul said this also in his letters. Whatever he underwent, he always had joy and peace in his mind. In Philippians he said, rejoice, always rejoice. And I say again, rejoice. He was in prison when he wrote that. But when we submit ourselves to God and live a life which is according to His purpose in us, although on the one hand we suffer tribulations, we suffer discomfort, all kinds of unhappy things, in our heart there is that peace and joy as we go through those experiences. You remember Brother Lee, when he talked about all these things that happened to him, you can see behind it that he has great joy in his heart. He has great peace in his heart. Whatever comes, he is not shaken in his faith in the Lord. He had that peace and joy. And as Paul's experience shows us too, he said, at the end, I fought that good fight and so on. He maintained that peace and joy no matter what happens. And so, although there are sufferings and there are tribulations in our experience of the cross, we always will experience also, at the same time, the fullness of joy in our hearts. And that, in turn, as I said, gives us motivation to go on, to move on. We don't look back, but we move on. And then finally, I think I only have time to mention this last one. Only through the bearing of the cross and the falling of the Lord will one experience the sweetness and intimate fellowship with the Lord, experience the life in the power of His resurrection, and have the ability to testify the wonderful work of our God. Finally, I think only the bearing of the cross and following the Lord will we really experience the sweetness and intimate fellowship, the experience in life in the power of His resurrection, and the ability to testify to the wonderful work of our God. You know, Paul, in Paul's experience, before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was probably the most zealous person for God. He was most zealous for the religion which he believed in. And so he took every possible avenue, every possible occasion to persecute those who are, in a way, those who are Christians. It was genuine. He was sincere in his effort. He was not doing it for his own means, but he hardly knew God. It was because he didn't know God in a stricter sense that he went on in his zeal to persecute those who believed. He had no intimate fellowship of God, and that he had no communication of God. His conscience might have been very clean and right. I'm sure that he never had the peace which he wanted. I think every night when he went home or went to bed, he was thinking about all these troublesome Christians. How am I going to deal with them? How am I going to sort of turn them around? There's always turmoil in his heart. I can almost feel it, you know, that he couldn't sleep thinking about what he's going to do about these people. Because he didn't know God. He has no real knowledge and fellowship with God. And he will be constantly worrying what he is going to do. Although he was hindered by his errors and his mistakes. And then when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, it changed the picture completely. He now had fellowship with God. And he found throughout his life, through all the miseries and all the persecutions he suffered, he always, whatever happens, he was not bothered. He had that peace because now he had that intimate fellowship. You remember when we read 2 Corinthians, when he was defending his apostleship before the Corinthians, he sort of detailed, he had a running account of all the sufferings, of all the persecutions, of all the tribulations he came across. And in chapter 11 of that letter, I just quote a little bit. He said, 5 times I received 40 stripes less one from my own people. 3 times he was beaten by the Romans. See, the Romans are not allowed to use a rod to beat prisoners, and so they are not permitted to use stripes to beat the prisoners, so they use rods, right? So he was 3 times bitten by the Romans. Once he was stoned. 3 times he experienced shipwreck. A day and a night in the depth of the sea, having to travel long distance and journeys very often, and in perils of water, and so on and so forth. All these things, he took it in his stride because he knew he is constantly in touch with the Lord. And so on and on, he listed those experiences. And yet as we go on and read that letter, we find that he was always at ease with God. He was never complaining to God. He never had a word to complain. In all those bitter experiences, he really was enjoying the sweetness of God's fellowship and protection. So it is only through constantly bearing the cross and following the Lord and submitting to his will that one can enjoy sweetness of fellowship even in adverse conditions. Paul's testimony before the Corinthians is a very forceful testimony for us to see that if we really have to want to have close, intimate fellowship of God, somehow or other, sometime in our journey, we will come across tribulations. And in the verse we read in Philippians, Paul said the same thing to the Philippians. You know, he said that he would count all things lost for the sake of Christ. He will give up everything for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And that doing all this, giving up all these things, all this enjoyment, all this which he is quite legitimate entitled to, for one purpose, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of sufferings. In his fellowship of sufferings, in his sufferings, he had the fellowship of God. That close, intimate, and sweet fellowship with God is what kept Paul going on until at a very old age he said, I have fought the race, I have run the course, I have kept the faith. So the cross is not something, it has its uncomfortable side, let's put it that way, but for all intents and purposes, God tells us that we have to take up the cross the way which he lived on earth. And through that, we will experience tribulations on the way for a very good purpose. Not only to achieve God's ultimate purpose in the redemption of you and me, but also to enable us to really enjoy the sweet fellowship of the Lord. So therefore, what is the conclusion? When we are willing to take up the cross and follow him in our everyday life, don't consider it as something bad and something miserable. Look at the positive side. We are going along a road whereby we will one day be brought forward to him, not only as sons, but sons in glory. And along these experiences of sufferings and hardship and so on, we have continuous, uninterrupted fellowship and enjoyment with God. That is our enjoyment. They're out of the way of the cross, we can really have enjoyment. I think this is really the story behind all the testimonies which Brother Lee told us. He has, as Paul had, gone before us and he has shown us what the secret is. It is something which is very practical, a life, the way of the cross is a life which is practical. And most important of all, it is workable. Sometimes you think, oh, it's not workable, but it is a workable. Brother Lee has shown us that. And it is up to us to put that into practice in our daily life. Behind that, there is this solid body of principles to support us to go through and lead a life which is pleasing to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you because you saved us and you have left us here on earth as orphans. Throughout our journey, In this life, we know that you are always with us, because you will never forsake us. You, who have just given everything up for our sake, we know that you will not leave one thing which you will not give us. Lord, we thank you, because even though we may come across hardships and other things in this world, in this life, Lord, we know that there's no one who can make a charge against us. There's no one who can condemn us, because there's nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we pray and ask for your help, that as we go through life, we will submit to your desire, that we will take up the cross and daily and follow you. And may you all have all the glory and all the honor that you deserve. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.